everybody. Welcome to Youth Sunday. Throughout this year, we're in Refuge and Impact, the youth groups. We're talking about the story of God and how he's called us into it and how we live through him and he's going to take us on this wild journey that's so amazing. So today we're sitting in this casual setting to show you guys our community, like at Refuge, how we just like love each other and we're just best friends and like we want everyone to feel like they're welcome in this place, like under God. So today we're going to talk about our own stories and how God's working in our own lives and like the way he's changing our hearts. And so we're going to introduce ourselves now.
I'm Dominique. I'm a freshman at Saddleback College, and I'm a leader for Refuge and Impact.
I'm Darby, and I'm a senior at Laguna Beach High School, and I'm also a leader at Impact and kind of at Refuge, not officially.
I'm Mia. I'm a senior at Laguna Beach High School, and I'm a leader at Impact and Refuge.
My name is Riley. I go to Capitol Valley Christian School. I'm a junior, and I've been going to Refuge for about 3 years. All right, so before we begin, I'm just going to pray us in real quick, so bow your heads real quick. Lord, I just thank you for today and the opportunity to come out here and speak your truth and talk about you. What an awesome thing we can do and a privilege. God, I ask that our words are yours and not ours. God, that your spirit dominates this room continually each and every day, and that if anybody here needs to be touched, that you just reach out and touch them. And we love you and thank you for everything you do. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, just sitting up here real quick and listening to that song that his love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on us. I could go home right now and I don't even need this paper. We could just go, but it's awesome. I'm stoked about that. And I don't know, it gave me so much joy just thinking about that. It's something I think we really take for granted. But besides the fact, if you don't know me, my name's Riley. My mom is Brett and Kim, and they're a big, scary looking guy. And my mom's, you know, really sweet little lady, but I've been going to Refuge for 3 years, and it's just so crazy how much it impacted my life, and Sam and everyone else has just challenged me to become there's a difference between being a Christian and being a Christian and knowing who God is, and that's what Sam has really challenged me to do, and he just taught me that. Like this religion is more God. Jesus is more than just an Easter story. He's alive and he's real and he's on the move. And like last night we were sitting here and we had this whole sermon planned out. A good sermon to speak. And we just sat down. It didn't feel right because we just felt like coming to Sunday and being a Christian is more than just listening to a good sermon on Sunday. It's a life change. You should come to church to be overwhelmed and just like rocked by the Spirit and feel awesome. And that's what we just plan to do today. But I mean, like, so I really was up till after we changed everything around. I was up till I just sat there and I literally prayed and was like watching TV and prayed a little more and just said, God, like I'm clueless. I am clueless on what to speak about. I speak about today. And yeah, finally, I don't know why, he just decided to tell me at like 3 in the morning what I want to speak about, but it was just that, once again, that God is alive, he's on the move, and he's just radically wanting to change everybody, and that, and then one thing he just kind of put on my heart was just like, you know, if God is love, and we're supposed to be like Jesus, and Jesus is God, then aren't we supposed to be love? And I just constantly like was thinking about that, and you know, I really, before coming to Refuge and before like my sophomore year, I really was caught in this fact that like that wasn't me. And, in my life, I moved about eight, probably somewhere from eight to 15 times. I don't know, cause I can't count the ones when I was like a baby, but during that process, I moved from like 6 different states and I met a lot of really good people and I met a lot of really not so good people. And, there really hasn't been any place like Refuge, and my whole life I've been growing up to like realize that these stories in the Bible that I never really knew that they were real. Like I knew that they were stories, but I feel like that's something we take for granted. Like Daniel was really in the lion's den, and Rabshakeh, Meshach, and Abednego were really in a fire. That's something that actually happened, and it took place. It's not something that, you know, we say, and I feel like we don't really realize, but and after Costa Rica, after these guys came back, there's a difference between being a light in the world and then being like lit on fire. Like when you're lit on fire, there's no holding back. It's just you're screaming. You're just like, like you're on fire. And this is what everybody that came back from Costa Rica was. And then I was just sitting there, and that's something I wanted so, so bad. And the spirit and just everything was so strong that it really rubbed off on me. And then the week, like 2 days after they came back from Costa Rica, it was Refuge, and Sam wanted me to speak. So great, I have to speak in front of all these kids that came back from Costa Rica. I didn't go on the trip, and they're completely on fire. So I'm literally just like, all right, I'm just going to be like that water that just like throws on them. And I'm like, I was so scared. But, you know, I was just constantly thinking, like, what is it? What is that surrender? What is that, like, that faith that they have just look like? And I looked to, so I just decided I had to speak. I looked in the Bible, and I was like thinking about like this idea of like faith. And I looked to the story of Abraham and Isaac, and Abraham and Isaac on the altar, it's Genesis 22. And if you don't know like that background story, it's like, so Abraham has been promised this son, Isaac, who's going to bless him. Like this son is going to bless Abraham with more offspring than stars in the sky and the sand in the sea. And he's going to, his name will be known throughout the ages. And then just like that, God asks him, hey, I need you to go kill your boy, Isaac, for me. And right in the next verse, it just says, Abraham woke up early next morning and got to the altar and set out on his way. Because, like, I mean, we look at, like, I mean, Rick Warren and Kay Warren, their son had just recently committed suicide from mental illness. And they're so crushed, and they still find joy in that. And that's something that's I found crazy. And I just find it crazy that Abraham, the son that, like, is supposed to give him everything, just like that, he's able to surrender it, and he's able to place his son on that altar. And in the end, he doesn't have to kill his son. God says, cut your son loose. There's a ram in the bush. And, you know, I find in my life that I've had these trials, and I've go through some things, and when these guys came back, like, I didn't know what to do. But, I mean, honestly, this surrender, like, God blesses you so much through these trials that you face, and through, like, the surrender, that, like, laying it all down. And Abraham does get blessed through that. He's blessed with more star or offspring, and obviously Israel ended up conquering all the nations. But I mean, once again, one thing that I've just learned this whole year, and that God really had placed on my heart, is that He's alive, and that especially through these guys coming back from Costa Rica, is that He's on the move and He wants to break down so many walls, and we're gonna get that done, and we're gonna keep praying. So. Thank you.
So I'm going to talk about how this past season in my life, God has been teaching me to surrender and to trust Him with everything. And so often I like try to control things in my life. So I went to Kenya last year for 3 months. I lived there at an orphanage, and I had all these goals for what I was going to do there. I really wanted to, like, impact the kids there and just show them, like, how great God is, and just had all these specific goals that I wanted to do. I wanted to, like, construct things and, like, I don't know, just help the people there. And throughout that whole time I was there, I just felt really disconnected from God and just, like, frustrated. Like, why wasn't anything getting done? Like, what am I doing here? Like, what is this purpose? And I was like, God, why, when I want to serve you so much, you would just, like, not even talk to me and not even, like, tell me what to do or guide me or, like, anything. Like, I couldn't even feel Him. And when I came back, I just felt like that whole trip was useless. Like, there was nothing that I accomplished through that, and I was really down about that because it was such a great opportunity. And that's happened so often through my life. This past month or so, like, has been happening again. I came back from Costa Rica on fire for the Lord, and I wanted to do this. I wanted to come back to school and just, like, change everyone at school. Like, I had the best plan in my like head. It was going to be so great, like, going to tell everybody the gospel, and like the Holy Spirit's just going to work through me, and it was great. And I started making all these goals, like trying to control my life again, like kept falling to the same things, and I was disconnected from God again, and I was just caught in that same cycle, like, why, God? I really want to serve you so much. Like, why can't I? Like, what is stopping me from, like, connecting with you? And I knew something was wrong. And God, like, turned that around, and he made me, like, go back and look at, like, what he did in Kenya and, like, what he did through me at high school through going to this church, the Vineyard Church, last week. He just, like, broke me down and told me to just trust him and just surrender. That's all I have to do. I just have to surrender to the Lord, and I don't have to make any of these goals. I don't have to, like, plan out my life and say I'm going to do this, this, and this. Like, I don't have to strive for God. I just have to seek him and surrender to him, and he's going to use me. I don't have to worry about when and why and how and, like, where. I don't have to plan all that. He's just going to, like, use me, like, if I surrender. And so I'm excited, like, to surrender to the Lord, and he's gonna use me, and I don't have to worry now. Like, that load is gone. Like, I don't have to stress about anything. He has control, and you just have to give up control to him and surrender, and he's gonna use you in radical ways, and, like, joy is gonna, like, overflow through your life, because all you have to do is surrender to the one who loves you so much and, like, only wants the best for you. It's, like, the best thing ever. So we don't have to worry. We just have to surrender. Yeah. Amen. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm Mia again. And I just really want to share with you guys, like, how God has transformed my life and transformed my view on, like, the world around me and everything. So I was one of the kids that went on the Costa Rica trip, and going in, I just felt, like, distant from God. I felt like he didn't always, like, hear me, and he wasn't always listening. But so when I went in, I was just, like, I prayed that in Costa Rica I would have a life-changing experience. And on the third night, that's exactly what I got. We were all just sitting down in a circle, and there was already such, like, a sense of community and, like, a love between all of us. And Sam stands up, and he asks for us to declare freedom over situations or insecurities that we had. And kids started standing up and telling, like, declaring freedom over these really personal things. And I'm not one to stand up and talk about my, like, personal situation, so I just sat there quietly. And I needed to declare freedom over a lot. When I was 4, my parents got divorced, and God was not allowed at my dad's house. He was everything against God. God didn't make sense. Jesus didn't make sense. But at my mom's, she brought us, my brother and I, to church, and we gradually grew closer to God. As I got older, my relationship with my dad worsened, and during that time, I was able to really accept God into my life. My relationship just kept getting worse and worse, and my dad would say horrible, mean things like, I never wanted you, I never needed you, and blamed me for things that I know that aren't really my fault. So it just got bad. But as I got older, my mom remarried my youngest brother, Brennan's dad, David. And I thought he was just the, like, answer to my prayers, that he was going to be the dad that I had always prayed for, give me that father-daughter relationship that I wanted so badly. I adored him, and it was such, like, I thought he was just such a blessing that he had come into my life. Well, during that time when my mom married him, she and my dad were in court, and my dad and I were put through court-appointed therapy. And pretty much the therapist told my dad that if he didn't get some help, he would not have a relationship with me. And the sad thing is he chose to not go through therapy and not get help, and he chose his pride and himself over his relationship with his daughter. And that just killed me. I felt so unworthy and unwanted. But I thought, okay, it's okay. I still have David in my life. I still have a father figure. 6 months later, my mom and David got a divorce. So that just tore me apart. I didn't understand. I thought he was the answer to my prayers. And it just all hit me double as hard, because not only did I not have my biological dad in my life, but I also didn't have this this other father figure in my life. And that's when I really had to start leaning on God. I really had to start looking to him as my father figure. He was all I had left. He was my father figure, and he was perfect, and he would not let me down. So I was thinking of all this, and in Costa Rica, I was still having these feelings of unworthy and just, like, not being enough. So back in Costa Rica, when Sam stood up, and he's like, you know what? I think there's two girls in this room that need to hear that even though they have not had that father figure in their life, they have their Heavenly Father, Jesus. And he just said, like, we are worthy in God. We are enough for God. We are whole in God. And I was like, oh my gosh, whoa. I was just praying for that. Like, that's crazy. But I still was not, I would not stand up and declare freedom from that in front of everybody. So a couple minutes later, Robert Clemens stands up and he's like, you know what? I really think Mia needs some prayer. So the whole group comes up around me and prays. And they all just started praying for things I completely needed prayer for. Like, it was crazy. Everything I needed prayer for, they were just praying it for me, and it was the most powerful experience. Once that was over, Laura walks over to me, and at this point, she did not know me on a personal basis. She knew me as just some girl who came to church, and she knew me really surfacely. Well, she started praying for things that there was no way she could have known about, really specific instances that no one in the group knew about. And the things she would say were verbatim. She used the exact words that I had just used when I was praying for God. And that's when I knew, like, God hears me. He's listening to me. And I'm not broken in him. He hears me, and he will give me what I need. He puts me through these trials for a reason. If he will never present me with something I can't handle. And I can handle it all as long as I have him. He is my kind father that I've always needed and always wanted, that is full of grace, and he's loving, and he's fair, and he listens. He hears what I say. When I pray, he hears, and he wants to grant me those prayers. He is the father that will always be there for me as long as I have faith in him.
So good. Okay, I started living in the story of God for the first time as well in the Costa Rica mission trip. But before that, I was born here in California and moved to Costa Rica when I was 5. And I didn't grow up in a Christian family, neither my parents or my brother believed in the Lord. And I was surrounded by friends who were completely consumed in the world. And they all drank, smoked, drugs, they were in jail all the time. But I just didn't get into any of that. I was always looking, like, for companionship or friendship. But I always thought they actually cared for me. But then 10th grade came along, and I got pneumonia severely, and I was in the hospital for 3 or 4 weeks. And then in 6th grade, my dad had left to come here to the States to work, so I didn't have that father figure. And when I was in the hospital, not even a soul came by to check on how I was or called or anything. And that kind of struck me bad, and I just shut myself completely and didn't like to talk to anybody. I was rude all the time to anybody who came near me. I wasn't friendly, and I thought the laughing or smiling was kind of a sign of weakness. So I didn't believe in friendship. I didn't believe in this God at all. I was kind of mad at him if there was this God, and I just mocked all the time religion and everything that had to do with that. And then 2012, last year, I moved back to California, to Laguna, and I did my senior year at Laguna Beach High. And for the first semester, I played tennis, and I met this friend, her name is Chloe, and she came to this church, and she told me about they were going to Costa Rica. And I thought that was kind of cool, like, what are the chances? And I guess they were going to go to Haiti before, but they switched it up to Costa Rica, and they were going to give community service hours, which I needed. So I started attending these meetings, and I realized it's part of church and a part of God, and I just completely, no, I'm not going to that. It's no way. I do not believe in anything of that. And I remember going to the meetings, and I felt completely awkward because I was forced to branch out and make friends and talk to people, and I just couldn't. It was kind of too much for me. I don't know what happened. The Lord provided, and I ended up going to this trip. And within like first 2 days, I just was completely amazed of the joy every single kid had and the leaders had, and how much they love each other. And I remember we were sitting in this bus and we were going to this place where we were going to serve. And Sam made us sit, like switch seats to kind of meet everybody else. And he sat next to me and he's like, "What's going on?" And I had no idea what happened. I didn't say a word, and I just started bawling. And I didn't know why I was crying. I hadn't cried in years. And I just felt like overwhelmed by love and just joy. And I felt like I had family. I laughed and smiled for the first time for real. And I just felt what it is to truly be loved. And then throughout that trip, the Lord completely softened my heart. And I was able to completely give my life to him. And I was just on fire for him. And then even after that trip, he provided. And I went to this YOM camp in Hawaii. And he just revealed himself incredibly. I just had a deeper relationship with him. He showed me that he can heal physically and that I can actually hear his voice. And I just completely decided to change my way of living. I had this plan of studying business and going to top schools and making all this bunch of money. I had this idea of having an Audi red cherry convertible, customize it so I can have like four seats. I don't even like know if that's possible. But I was just, I had this mind of living for myself. I didn't care about anybody else, of helping anybody else. And I had completely changed my mind, and it's just, I just want to go and share the love of the Lord to every single country in the world. That's my bucket list, every single country in the world. And this couple, literally 3 weeks ago, I completely opened myself up to my family, to my parents. I mentioned the name of the Lord for the first time in my house, and the enemy completely attacked that home. My parents were completely opposed of me going to the poorest country in the world and sharing the gospel without making any money or not worrying about any money, and me telling them that the Lord would provide. And they were completely blinded about that and mocking me. Like, I remember myself being the exact same person, being mocking the Lord. And they were doing the exact same thing. And they were just opposing completely everything. And I swear, each single day, the enemy was attacking me with incredible stuff. My grandmother got diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Swear, the next day she fell and bruised herself incredibly. The next day, my uncle got diagnosed with melanoma. Then the next day, my grandmother got a stroke. And it's like, what in the world is happening here? And I just, for some reason, didn't feel broken at all. I didn't cry. I did not feel empty. The Lord gave me incredible strength and joy. And I didn't have to go like to the poorest country in the world to live out of faith. I was challenged to live right here where I am, to live out of faith like I wanted to live. And the Lord gave me community. He gave me people who love the Lord incredible. And His timing is so precise that I just had people come and be incredible impact in my life. And that they supported me. And they were family. And the Lord has been using me in my parents' life. And I felt like right now I'm still there, but I know He's working, and that my parents are realizing that I'm not that same person 6 months ago. And then they still haven't coped with that, but I know the Lord has really worked with that. And my brother, who did not believe in the Lord, he completely supported me, and he kind of challenged my parents as well. Like, if she wants to go do that, then let her be. And my parents kind of figured that kind of something was going on. And it was totally the Lord and my brother, because he didn't believe in anything of that. And I kind of realized that I truly, truly need the Lord for everything. I can't do it by myself. And that living out of faith is the most incredible thing ever. because he just, even anything can happen. I know the Lord is truly rock and salvation, and that anything that happens, he'll give you guys joy and love and extreme peace, that anything can happen. So I just encourage you guys to really live out of faith, because nothing is going to bring you guys down if you really, truly believe the Lord is your rock and salvation.
Let the worship team come forward. As we're worshiping, I mean, just those stories are just so awesome and give me chills, and I want to cry and laugh at the same time. But like I said, we really refuge. We're taught that that Jesus is alive and he's on the move, and he's way, 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 way more than just some Easter story. He's a God that loves us and cares for us, and we have the Spirit in us that wants to act. And if you feel like you need prayer for something while these guys are coming, we just ask you that just to come forward, and we're just gonna lay hands on you and pray for you. Or if any of these people, like Mia's story or Dominic's story or my story or Darby's story, just relates to you, just come up to us and we'd just like to pray for you. Or any, if you have like physical problems or something that you think wants to be healed, like, you know, God wants to heal it. Sometimes you might not believe it, but we see all the time that God really wants to heal, and he wants to touch, and his hands want to be a movement. So if you want to come forward, please come forward. We'd love to pray for you.